Got against Jordan Davis a good amount over the last few years, I guess. Is it as different to go against him this year as he looks? I mean, obviously looks a lot.
You know, I'm still getting limited reps right now, but, you know, he's doing a good job so far. You know, first day with pads, so it's hard to tell just from one practice. I don't really count any of the practices without pads. They're fake. It's not football. 7-on-7 doesn't matter. Stop tweeting about stats or whatnot. Doesn't matter.
Well, I disagree. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. That was Cam Jurgens.
Seriously?
Yep. Cam throwing cold water on training camp stats. Speaking of, Elliot Shore Park's with us here.
What's up?
Who charts them better than anyone I know and was charting them before anyone I know. Elliot, what's going on here? First it was Watt. Now it's Cam Jurgens. There's an attack on training camp stats. I wasn't here last week, but I read your response, I guess, for the afternoon show about Watt.
Yeah.
I thought you handled it very well. You're right. Why would you ignore the information in front of your face?
Yeah, so I view this a little differently. I'm just happy people are talking about the training camp stats. You see more and more teams or beat reporters across the league tracking them. It's better. The more times JJ talks about it or Cam brings it up, the more times other beat writers are going to start doing it. We're going to have more information. So obviously I love the stats. I think I'm a better informed reporter because I have those stats. As to Cam saying 7-on-7 is not real football, yeah, it's not 11-on-11. I agree. That being said, the team does run 7-on-7 drills, so I would say they hold some level of importance. But yeah, as always, the stats need context, and boy, oh boy, do the stats today need some context.
Right.
It was not a good day for the offense.
Okay, we'll get to those. I do think there's one thing being lost, and maybe because Jurgens and Watt didn't play in the old days, they don't remember this.
In the old days.
Well, the old days. 99% of fans can't see practice.
Yep.
Right? There's the open practice, which a lot of people go to, but that's one, right? And it's one in August, whatever it is, 10th. In the old days, a lot of people used to go to Lehigh or go to Westchester. A lot of people saw practice so they could have their own observations. You and the other reporters, but you're our reporter, you have the eyes on this. Like, why would you not chart what you see so you could tell us what you saw? Like, I almost think, like, why wouldn't you do this?
Yeah.
Fans can benefit.
I guess my thing on it is, do the stats require context? Yes, absolutely. But so do stats of any game. If I don't watch a Sixers game and I just look at the box score after, I can have an idea of what happened.
Sure.
But somebody that watched it would have a better informed opinion as to why that happened, what the numbers looked like. So, yeah, when I tell you today Jalen was 16-20 with no touchdowns and an interception, you could look at that and say 16-20, you know, that's pretty good. But I have context as to how he looked and how it went. So, yeah, the training camp stats get people worked up, but as long as we're covering training camp, I want to give as much information as possible.
As you should. All right, let's dive into what you saw today, including the stats. Seemed like not a great day for the offense. What did you notice?
So the defense is definitely starting to win these reps a little bit more. The first 2 days of practice, Jalen was completing 93% of his passes, and that's really changed over the last few days. He was 16 of 20 today. He had his first interception of training camp. It was on his, I believe, 65th throw of camp.
Way different than last year.
Last year he made it 305, set a franchise record, as we all remember. So this year didn't go as far, and I didn't think it was a good throw from Jalen. It didn't look like he had pressure. From my view, it didn't look like he had pressure in the pocket. Kind of threw it off his back foot, lofted it down the sideline to AJ, and it was underthrown. It was probably a yard or two behind AJ, and Quinyon picked it up off. So that was not a good throw from Jalen. I thought he held on to the ball a lot today. There were a few 7-on-7 reps where he held on to the ball. They ran a few reps in the red zone. And to me, red zone reps are drills the offense should win. I think they have the advantage in those drills. And you should be able to throw the ball into the end zone in those drills. And both times Jalen was in the red zone, he ran the ball in. So, again, it's a touchdown. It counts in a game. But in practice, to me, that's a win for the defense because they held him from throwing it. So just not the sharpest day. This past Saturday, I thought accuracy was his issue. Not as much today. Today, I just thought the coverage was really, really good, and the defense won the day.
Elliot Shore Park's with us here after Eagles training camp practice. All right, Elliot, one of the things that was obvious early was when Sirianni spoke, he said Andrew Mukuba was not going to practice today.
Yeah.
So the rookie safety second-round pick out of Texas. What do you know about that? And what's the level of concern right now with safety? Because to me, it came in as a thinner position anyway, and now their rookie, who's trying to get up to speed in Vic's defense, is missing some time here. What's going on with Mukuba and now the concern with the position?
Yeah, so Mukuba practiced on Saturday. Towards the end of a team rep, he got hurt, and it's a shoulder injury. So he was not out there at practice today. Nick was asked about it prior to practice. Sometimes it's tough to get a read on what Nick really is trying to say with the injury questions. I think for the most part, he's just trying to get out of them without giving anything away. But to me, it didn't sound like, oh, he'll be out there tomorrow. I think he could potentially be out a few days. They do practice tomorrow. They're off Wednesday, and then they're back at it Thursday, Friday. So we'll see if he gets back on the field this week. But the bottom line is this. They have got to trade for a safety. They can keep, you know, giving Sidney Brown reps and Andre Sam and Tristan McCollum and see if maybe one of them plays well. I think they're just wasting time. You cannot go into the season with any of those guys your full-time starters. And if you do, you have to have some level of veteran backup. They have nobody next to Reed Blankenship that's played any amount of snaps. You have all those 13 draft picks next year. They got to go out and trade for a veteran or sign a veteran safety.
Have you seen Cooper DeJean out there at all at safety since that the first day we saw him?
Yeah, so Cooper is playing more and more at safety when they're in their base. So you're right that when they're in their base defense, they could put Cooper there, and maybe they decide just to move him there full-time. But I think he's so good in that nickel role, and so many great receivers line up in the nickel now. So it's an important job. I mean, last year he was lined up against CeeDee Lamb. He was lined up against Ja'Marr Chase. They play the Vikings last year?
No, they did not.
No. Mm-hmm. So he was lined up against really good receivers in the slot, and he will be again this year. They play the Vikings this year. Mm-hmm. He will be up against Justin Jefferson. So it is something when they're in base, they'll be putting Cooper at safety, it seems. But even that's not decided because Vic Fangio said – that Cooper will basically play if, you know, a safety stands out, then he'll come on the field for Keeley on the outside. If Keeley plays well, then he'll come on the field for the safety. So Cooper could be a potential long-term fit, but I don't think this year that's the solution.
It feels like they're thinking about Cooper almost like a super utility player in baseball. We're just going to put him in this spot because we have a hole here, or you know what I mean? Like move him around based on what else we have. So do you think it would – if this safety issue continues, do you think it'd be easier for them to find an – adequate slot corner and play Cooper at safety? Like, I wonder if that's how this ends up. Not that they want to move Cooper off a slot,
right,
but maybe they could find a B minus at slot corner, and then they know he can play safety well, and then that's how they fill the problem.
Yeah, that's a potential possibility. I do think Cooper, and look, we have not seen him play on the outside a lot. Maybe his game will translate to the outside. But watching Cooper for a year, I think he is best served in the middle of the field, whether that is at safety where he's running down the field or whether it's nickel where he starts off in the box. I just think he's a physical player. He's a good tackler. He goes after the football. So I want him on the inside. I don't want him on the perimeters. But you're right that if they can find an adequate nickel, then maybe you do make him your starting safety. But I think that's confusing it too much. Cooper was really good in his role last year. He's in his second year. I don't know if he's – this isn't a six-year veteran we're talking about. I don't want to put too much on his plate. I want the best version of Cooper, and I want him at his best position, not because Keeley's struggling at his or Sidney Brown struggling at his. I want Cooper playing the position they think he can have the biggest impact at, and so that's why I do think going out of the roster to find a solution is the move.
Is it fair to bring up the obvious? Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was on this football team.
Yeah.
Like, they had a safety that obviously helped them win, and they traded him for – is Kenyon Green practicing?
Yeah, he started to practice, but he's not a lock to make the team. And he certainly is not competing for the job so far with Tyler Steen.
Yeah, I mean, I know the Eagles have tried to – they've moved past it. Now this is their team now. But, Elliot, if they trade for a safety and they have and Howie speaks down at the press conference then, that's going to be one of the questions. Like, you traded away CJGJ to have to go fill the spot.
So I agree with the premise of what you're saying. I would just say that the – kind of details of it would be they saved a lot of cash by trading Chauncey. If you trade, let's say, a fourth or a fifth round pick, it might not even cost that. But for some, you know, average NFL has played in the league, is just, you know what you're getting
decent
for him, safety.
Player, yeah.
He's probably not costing you. I think Chauncey saved them $8 million in cash. So there is that difference. But you're right. By getting rid of Chauncey, they opened up a hole on the roster. They were hoping that that hole could be filled by one of these young players. And look, we're only on day four. But Makuba is the smallest safety in the NFL, so I don't know if you can be stunned that he's been hurt 4 days into camp. And then the other guys have never played, so they got to find a solution there.
All right, Elliot Shore Parks with us here live from training camp after practice. Elliot, let's talk about some players that are standing out. And seemed like today you and I noticed a similar name, Montrell Johnson, undrafted free agent running back. I went out there on one of the breaks, and I was watching him run. I was like, he looks like he can run a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, as two football guys, we obviously have an eye for talent.
And
right?
Hugh's you not can... part of this anymore because he wants it. Oh, wait, you want a dome too, don't you? You're a dome guy?
Oh, well, of course. I mean, a dome is – here's my thing. People that love football should want a dome because you're going to see better football in a dome than you will
outside.
You'll
see sanitized football. It'll all be the same.
You'll see players at their best. I would love to see the best players in the world not be hampered by weather. I want to see them be able to play their game at the best possibility, and that happens more in a dome.
But games would not be unique anymore. They'd all look the same. Eventually, if everyone has a dome or plays in nice weather, all football looks the same.
Yeah, that's fine. Weather and snow games are cool, I agree, but you know what else is cool? Watching Saquon run for 300 yards because he's not running in the snow.
Yeah, we'll never get a fun snow game again. Ever.
We've had two in 15 years.
And we'll talk about them forever.
Agreed, but in between there, they could have had...
It was a fun game.
It was a fun game, I agree. But, you know, again, the best example I can use is last year. The Eagles played the Rams in a dome, and they played them in snow. In the dome, they ran all over them and won convincingly. In the snow, their season almost came to an end because weather was a factor. I want the Eagles, and especially this roster, to play in the best possible conditions to get the best possible play out of their talented players. I can give up being cold in the stands for that.
Well, that's you, but I think most disagree. All right, let's go back to the original question, which was guys maybe are making a jump. Who's standing out?
So Montrell Johnson Jr., the running back out of Florida. Now, the tough thing is his path to the roster is a crowded one.
Right.
Obviously, safe to say Saquon's going to make it. Shipley is going to make it. And A.J. Dillon's been really good so far, so I think he's going to make the team. But Montrell Johnson Jr., he was an undrafted running back out of Florida. He looked good. He's getting the most reps of all that second tier of running backs after the guys that are going to make it. I think you can see that he's a physical guy. He has some speed. And I've seen a lot of running backs, you know, come here, you know, throughout the years here. He stands out. So I think he stood out. Another name I would keep an eye on that might directly impact someone we all think is going to make the roster is Elijah Cooks. Not a veteran NFL player, but not a rookie either. Him and Johnny Wilson, similar body type, both big, tall. He has outplayed Johnny Wilson so far, in my opinion. Johnny Wilson has not had a good start to camp. Today, I believe it was 11-on-11 drill. He was in the end zone against Mac McWilliams. Mac McWilliams, one of the smaller corners in the league. Johnny Wilson, one of the bigger receivers in the league. Mac McWilliams ripped the ball out of his hands and forced an incompletion. On the flip side of that, Elijah Cooks has made a lot of really nice contested catches down the sideline. So Johnny Wilson has draft pedigree, and you're not going to, you know, ideally not cut. I think he was a fifth round pick. A year later, Elijah Cooks, they didn't invest that kind of capital in. But Elijah Cooks has looked like the better player through 4 days.
Are we talking about a fifth receiver? Is Terrence Marshall the four, or is the fourth spot up for grabs?
So I think Terrence Marshall is probably the four, but again, it comes to Johnny Wilson. So it'll go A.J., Devontae, Dotson, I think, is pretty locked in as that number three.
Right, then there's a huge gap.
Then I think there is a gap. Terrence Marshall has had a good start to camp, didn't do a ton today, but he had a good offseason as well. He's been pretty impressive. Johnny Wilson wasn't here for the practices that were available to the media in the offseason. And again, I think Elijah Cooks is outplaying him. So if I did my 53-man roster today, I would put Johnny Wilson on it. But if I did my 53-man roster just based off the 4 days of practice, I think Elijah Cooks has been better. But I do think Terrence Marshall will be that fourth guy, him or Wilson if they make the team.
Other side of the ball, I saw Saturday you posted something in a press conference with Jalix Hunt. How has he looked? Because, you know, that edge spot, we know Nolan on one side. But the other side, it feels like there's snaps open, and they signed Uche, they signed Ojulari. But Jalix came on at the end of the year. Does he look like he's ready to take a leap?
He's been awesome. Just physically, you know, I know he played safety, but you just look at him out there, and he has the exact body type you want for an edge rusher in today's NFL. I guess he's, you know, potentially a little on the lighter side, but he's long, he's fast. He has a really quick first step off the line of scrimmage, which is huge and something the Eagles really value. He's probably had two sacks in training camp so far. Obviously, you can't hit Jalen, and who knows, maybe in a game he gets away from it. But he has caused pressure so far through camp. So I think he's been really good. We got a chance to talk to him yesterday, and he talked about how this offseason he spent time talking to some of the best edge rushers in the NFL, trying to learn from them. And the thing that comes with the uncertainty on the defensive line, what comes with it is question marks and worry they won't be good. But the flip side of that is upside. And there's been days of camp so far when Hunt, Nolan Smith, Ojamo, Jordan Davis, like you, when they're all clicking at the same time, then you can really look and see what potential this defense has to be really, really good.
All right, how are you holding up in the heat? Today was the hottest
hot
day.
It was warm today. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just trying to get a tan, so like I'll deal with it. I don't put sunglasses on outside. I try not to, at least because I don't want to get a sunglass tan, but it was definitely very hot. It was easily the hottest day, and tomorrow is going to be even hotter.
So, like, this is the point of camp where you start to realize, like, are you ready? Like, are you really in football shape?
Yeah, I think I worked hard during the offseason.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know you told me.
So I feel like I came in football
shape.
So
you and Jordan Davis, it both paid off.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't lose 26 pounds like he did. I would probably be in the hospital if I lost 26 pounds. But, no, yeah, I feel good. And, look, Jordan Davis, I know we haven't got a chance to talk about this, but in all seriousness, I think he had a life-changing offseason. Like, you guys just got a chance to talk to him. I think I've known him since he came here to Philadelphia. He just seems like he matured a ton. And you can certainly say, well, why did it take 3 years? And I think that's a fair criticism. He's a first-round pick. But it happens when it happens. Mm-hmm. And just listening to him talk, I would be surprised if he ended up going back to his old ways during the season. It seems to me like the decisions he made were football-related, but he sees the impact of it in his everyday life. And we all like to feel in good shape, right? You're better at your job. Yeah. And I think he feels that. I'd be pretty surprised if he went back to, you know, being out of shape.
And Hugh was asking about it seems like there's a plan and a routine. It wasn't just like, oh, I worked out harder. Because then you could kind of fall off that a little bit, right? Like, well, it seemed like there's a diet change. It seems like there's a mentality change. And Hugh was mentioning whether or not it clicked or someone told him, like, this is a contract year, right? He got the fifth-year option, so he's got that. But
he's trying to get paid.
This is the year he could earn a long-term contract.
Well, and the number that really stood out to me was, so they told him they wanted him to come to shape in the 330s, so anywhere from 330 to 339. And if he would have showed up at 337, 338, you'd be like, okay, you hit your goal. But that could have just been the result of 5 days before you get here, just not eating, right? So he comes in at 330. That's not – you don't lose that amount of weight. I mean, maybe he could. But you don't lose that amount of weight a week before camp. That is the result of months of discipline and putting in the work. So, I mean, he came in again almost 10 pounds lighter than they wanted to, which is a good sign of all the work he put in.
Yeah, and I think it's smart for him because now, like I said, as a reformed fat guy, you have 10 pounds to play with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have that. You know, when you have, because I'm pretty sure, I didn't want to get too much in detail with it, but I'm pretty sure he has his cheat meals and things of that nature. Mm. So he's giving himself a little bit of grace as far as, you know, if his weight fluctuates during the season, because that looks like that's the problem. The summertime is not a problem for him to lose weight.
It's the
season, and it's those holidays, man. That's the biggest thing.
You blaming Thanksgiving?
Well, they're all coming up. Yeah,
man,
Christmas,
listen,
best time of the year.
I played with a guy who had to weigh in every week, and his biggest issue was that during the holidays, that's because mom cooking, mm-hmm. mom cooking the meals, and they're cooking hefty meals, and you have to try to maintain your weight as much as you possibly can.
Well, the other thing about the holiday season is it's cold outside and it's dark when you wake up. During the summer, you wake up, it's sunny, you can get up, it's easy to do. During the winter, I just think it's tougher.
It's hard to find that motivation
and work out. Yeah. But again, you guys were around him. He just seems like a happier individual mm-hmm. at this lighter weight. So I hope for the football player, but also just for the person, it seems like he's had a really transformative offseason.
Yeah, and he's an important player. I mean, I mentioned it to him. They lost a lot of snaps at defensive tackle. Like, there's a hole there. I know Jomo's playing well, but if he plays well, I'm sure they want him on the field. He's not cheap. He was a first-round pick. He has the talent. Like, mm-hmm. if he is in shape and plays well, I'm sure they'll give him the chance to, like, make us take you off the field. You keep going.
He might be the first player in my time covering the league where I am almost directly tying a breakout year to him to his snap count. Most players, it would be, all right, so let's just use Jalen, right? All right, 4,000 yards passing. Right, it's things like that. If you told me the snap count he played this year, I could tell you if he had a good year or not because they're not going to put him out there if he's not playing well. What did he play, something like 400 snaps last year? If he can get close to 600, I think then, A, they're getting what they need from him, but it also means he is playing at a high level.
Well, and it also means he's going to be an $18 or $20 million player next offseason.
Yeah, but that's why it was smart to pick up the option.
I was against it, and I
thought it was a smart
move. I was wrong. Now that it's played out, I'm...
Well, you could end up being right. I mean, we'll see.
But I've changed my mind. Like, I'm glad they did it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I actually thought it would motivate him to not have it picked up. But obviously, he started his process before. They had more information than I did.
They saw it.
I was concerned, if you pick this up, where's his motivation? But that doesn't seem to be an issue anymore.
The last thing I'll say about Jordan Davis is, obviously, we've covered it at length. He's lost a ton of weight. It's great for him. I do think sometimes we lean too much on just, well, he loses weight and he'll be great. He's never been a great pass rusher in his football life.
Yep.
And, that is maybe a part of being overweight and he's not right. But ultimately, he has not shown he can rush the passer. So, yes, he's in great shape, but you don't just lose 20 pounds and all of a sudden you're able to do it. He's going to have to work a lot on his technique and, frankly, do things he's not done in his football life. Now, it'll be easier to do at a better weight, but he still has to go out there and show he can do it.
Yeah, and I think he kind of touched on that, and I think that's how he kind of felt, because when I asked him about the number, he said one more than he had last year because he didn't want to put too much pressure on himself.
Right.
So, to your point, he kind of knows that pass rushing might not be his strong suit. But if he works on his technique and he gets better at it, he could be an effective person on third down.
He could also be a good one without a bunch of sacks. Like Milton Williams got paid because we know he can rush the quarterback. I mean, Ojomo, right?
He didn't have a single sack last year.
Right, but you look at some of the stats, like he's got a good pass rush win rate. He puts pressure on the quarterback. That's what Jordan – if Jordan has four sacks, but he gets to the quarterback and someone else cleans it up, we'll know.
Now, the difference is, though – Jordan Davis was the 13th overall pick in the draft. So we can look at Jordan Davis differently now. But if he does not become an effective pass rusher, then the Eagles, without question, would probably have some level of regret with that pick. Doesn't mean he's not a good locker room guy. Doesn't mean he's not a good player.
I agree. Yeah.
But they drafted him with the intention of him being on the field on third down in passing situations. So I think they still very much hope that's what it turns out.
You try to draft a Pro Bowler at 13.
Yeah, or at least someone that can be on the field in the most important downs.
Money down.
Yeah. And he hasn't been on most of those. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. Get in some cool air. And
can't wait.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Talk to
there
you
guys. There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks with us here. The one thing of our conversation with Elliot that hit me is that safety spot. I mean, it does feel thin, Hugh, as much as they have a lot of talent on the defense right up front with Jalen Nolan. We're hoping on Jordan. Linebacker could be better because of Jahad Campbell's talent. Corner should be still good with Quinyon and whatever they do with Cooper. I felt all from the moment they traded Chauncey, I was like, this is a thin safety room. It's thin.
And you talked about that quite a bit. I think what's going to happen is this. We'll probably go into the first game and see what we have and how it's going to work out. But, yeah, it's gonna be one of those things where it might be something we have to, you know.
Can I jump in here real quick? Sorry.
Yeah,
we just got some pretty big news.
Go ahead.
Kind of Phillies related.
Okay.
Manuel Class A, non-disciplinary paid leave as part of MLB's sports betting investigation. So,
oh no,
a huge trade target for the Phillies potentially is being suspended right now.
So yeah, that's according to Jeff Passan, second Guardians pitcher, right? It was Luis Ortiz.
Yep.
That was about a month ago that came down. What is going on in Cleveland is the question.
They gambling.
There's two players, two pitchers on the same team.
That's crazy.
All right, well, I would think that clearly takes him off the radar. You just can't.
I would have to imagine.
Even if you think he might be innocent, what if he's not? I mean, and then you get a player that's suspended. So it just makes it harder on the Phillies. It's just one extra option off the board. And now, right, every team's looking for bullpen. So if there were six good relief pitchers
now,
out there,
the price of the brick went up for everybody else.
Right, now there's five. Yeah. Right, so that's a huge one. Emmanuel Clase placed on leave due to an investigation around Major League Baseball. That is a big one. Boy, we got a lot of big baseball news breaking this hour. That Bryce Harper thing, getting in Manfred's face.
Yeah.
My goodness, this is going to be a big week. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's grab a call. We haven't got some calls. We appreciate everyone. Hold on. Black Gritty wants to institutionalize Hugh. What's up, Black Gritty?
Remember, kids, when you're out gambling, make sure you use an interpreter. Because without an interpreter, you're getting suspended, brother. You're getting suspended.
They're all getting suspended.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We just need an interpreter. No habla inglés. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm safe and free to gamble. Oh, Tony. I mean, I'm just saying, we know what it is. Hugh.
What?
You know I love you, man.
But
I'm about to put you in a padded room, okay?
What?
So, no matter what anybody says about a dome, anybody else in the world, but you, one of the voices of the people, a man who gets to sit in the lap of luxury of trailers and booths and suites. You out here talking about the weather. You don't play no more, and you trying to take my joy away while you out here with your little privilege your media pass.
I was thinking about y'all.
You weren't thinking about us. Stop it.
You ain't thinking about us. And you know how much you penny pension mammy jammy. You know how expensive a dome is, and they gonna take it out my taxes. If they ain't paying for it, I want extra money taken out of your pocket. You stop it. You've blown too many people. You got too much stuff going on. I'm embarrassed by it. You're ashamed, and you're punk school McDoober today. Watch yourself, Hugh Douglas. You know I love you, but man,
Black Gritty, we appreciate it.
I was looking out for the people.
No, you were not.
No, you weren't.
You were looking out squarely for yourself, and we all saw through it.
I'm a people person.
You are a Hugh person.
You're not a people person. At all, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not really.
I try.
You're personable, and but people person.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. These arguments are so thin.
I mean, I'm a work in progress.
Yeah, well, you are a work in progress.
I think it's a little too late for that.
What are you talking about?
Why you're in your 50s,
You're going to ruin the next 30 years of Philadelphia football because of your insecurities.
What do you mean? I'm not insecure.
Well, 215-592-9494. We'll run a bunch of your calls when we get back. A lot of people want to get into the dome discussion. Say no to the dome. Hugh is saying yes to the dome. I hate the idea when I took that survey. All right, we'll get to more on the Bryce Harper story that came out of ESPN.
It sounded like it was you downplayed it. It sounded like it was way worse than
get
what you reported.
Get the bleep out of here, said Bryce Harper to Rob Manfred.
With a bat in hand.
Woo, that adds to it. That's threatening. All right, all that coming up.
That is very menacing.
It's
sitting there with the bat in his hand quiet.
If I had a bat in my hand, I did that, they'd have put me in jail. I'm just saying.
they would have. Yeah,
if it would have been me. Oh, my God.
We'll get to all that, the Phillies trade deadline stuff. I want Eugenio Suarez, and I give up a lot to get him. Also, an update to the Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons saga, and you can react to anything you heard from Jordan Davis, Dallas Goedert, Elliott Parsons, right here in the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.